So it is Mother's Day, and I am glad to be able to share something with you. Now, this is going to be a little different than maybe most Mother's Day. Most kind of Mother's Day, we talk about the moms, and we have gifts for the moms and all that stuff, and we're going to try to work something out for that and get some gifts to some of our moms who come to the church. But for today, a little different message, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute, but first, the joke, right? We have to have a joke? Yeah, okay, here we go. A man was sitting on the edge of the bed, watching his wife, who was looking at herself in the mirror. And since her birthday was not far off, he asked what she'd like as a birthday gift. She said, "I'd like to be 8 again." Still looking in the mirror. On the morning of her birthday, he arose early, made her a nice big bowl of Cocoa Pops, and then took her to the Adventure World theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming roller coaster. Everything was there. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling and her stomach felt upset or upside down. Then he took her to McDonald's, where he ordered a Happy Meal and extra fries and a chocolate shake. Then it was off to a movie with popcorn, soda pop, and her favorite candy, M&Ms. It was a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed, exhausted. And he leaned over to his wife with a big smile and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like being 8 again?" Her eyes slowly opened and her expression suddenly changed. "I meant dress size, you idiot." And the moral of the story is, even when a man is listening, he's going to get it wrong. That's just the way it works, right? So, I brought a little prop with me today. I'm going to put this right here. I'm going to need this to do at least part of my sermon. Woo! And now I'm ready. Indoors. Is that bad luck? Is that what they say? I'm not stupiditious, so I don't have a problem with that. That's what Lisa's daddy used to call it, stupiditious. So I wanted to read a scripture on Mother's Day that might need the help of this umbrella to get through, because this is the famous scripture from the script, this famous text from the scripture that talks about wives. And so if anything's thrown at me, I have protection. No, it's actually for more than that, but I'll use the umbrella. So first, let me do the reading. Ephesians, if you want to turn with me. Ephesians chapter 5. I hope this isn't messing the camera up too much, Matt. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. So you can turn there. If you're watching via streaming, please get a Bible if you can. Let me remind you, too, while you're turning, that we will have communion at the end of this message. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Verse 22, "Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, or as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So this section of the scripture is probably one of the most well-known and not so well understood, I think. It's, in fact, despised by some for the wrong reason, and it's loved by others for the wrong reason. You can really use this for the wrong reason if you're not really paying attention to context and what God is actually trying to tell us. So I want to talk to you today about being on mission. But it's hard to talk about being on mission unless you talk about submission. And so the two kind of are tied together. The Greek word for submission is hupotasso. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us. We don't speak Greek. But it means to arrange yourself under, like an umbrella. And I think that's a good picture for us. If you're going to arrange yourself under something, and let me turn the page. Whoop, I'm going to get rid of this umbrella in a minute because it's hard to turn pages with this umbrella in my hand. If you arrange yourself under an umbrella, and some of us have done that, you know, you've been out in a storm and it's raining and you're kind of like turning the umbrella this way or that because of the angle of the rain. And if you've only got a small umbrella, you're sometimes wishing you had a bigger umbrella because if you get it in the right spot, you know, you can get less water on your body. Have you ever been in a storm like that? And you're just like, oh, I'm trying to arrange myself under this umbrella. That's what the word hupotasso means, to arrange yourself under something. So we shouldn't think of submission in the wrong way. Submission isn't, well, let me say it this way. It's primarily for us. It's for us. It's not, we're not there for it. Let's put it that way. We're not there to submit, to be under something because it's putting pressure on us to be under something. It's there for us to protect us so that we can be benefited by being under it. And when I say submission, you know, again, this verse that I read is oftentimes they talk about the women part, the wife's part, and they don't look at the context of it because submission is not just a woman's mission. All right, I'm going to get rid of this umbrella because it's a pain. So first, I want to remind us that we are all in submission. That was the first verse of the text that I read today. Verse 21, we are in submission to one another. That doesn't have anything to do with gender or anything else. We're in submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means because we honor God, we honor one another. This is a big deal because I think a lot of people think that some people have to submit and they don't. No, we're all in submission. And somebody may say, well, what does that look like exactly? Well, let me tell you what that looks like. Do you remember how Jesus spoke to his disciples at the Last Supper? Look at Luke 22 and verses 24 through 27. Now, there was also a dispute among them, that is the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. As we reverence, as we show our fear of the Lord, we desire to be as he was. And that's how he was. That's what's amazing about this when you look at it. How Christ was is how we should be. We all need to have a servant's heart. So today's text then says that wives should be in submissions to their husbands as unto the Lord. I just have a simple thought. Shouldn't it be really easy for wives to be in submission to their husbands if it's easy for us to be in submission to the Lord? It would be if he acted like the Lord. That's what somebody wants to say. I know. Yep. My wife's like, yep. We're going to talk about that. You know, God is our Father, and submitting to him, being under his mission, should be easy. And that's the picture I want us to get of submission, is under the mission. A lot of times people are not under the mission. They try to be under a man, and if the man's not on his mission, then you got issues. It should be completely easy to submit to Jesus, who loves us completely and perfectly. But even that is kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? We know what God wants of us, we know what is expected of us, and we have a hard time submitting to the will of God in our lives. The will of a God who loves us and only wants the best for us, and yet we still struggle with it. And I expect that it's especially hard for ladies if the guy who the scripture says they should submit to is not acting like the Lord. And then I started thinking, gee, I wonder how many men ever even get close to acting like the Lord. You know, sometimes I know men. I've been around guys. I got to tell you, there's something wrong with men sometimes. They act like heathens, like men. By the way, ladies, you want to know the measure of a man's mission? Okay, I'm going to make the guys squirm. You're out there, I'm going to make you squirm. Here's the measure of a man's mission. You can measure his mission by watching his life, watching where he spends his most of his time and energy and money. I know some men whose mission is bass fishing. Yeah, that's where they spend most of their time and energy and money. I have to ask myself sometimes, what mission am I on? You're going to hear about that a little bit more in a minute here. But it's really important. Have you ever watched a man who is pursuing a woman? He's got himself a woman and she's in his sights and he's lonely and he wants a woman. So where does he spend his time and his energy and his money? On that woman. He spends a lot of time, energy, money on that woman. And then he starts to get her response because he's making that effort. By the way, how many of you ladies like being the target of his time and energy and money? Sure you do. Why wouldn't you? You like being the man's mission. I don't know a young woman alive who doesn't like being a man's mission. I've even seen girls I remember from high school. They liked it when a boy liked them, even though they wanted nothing to do with him. They would still take his time and his energy and his money. They just wouldn't return anything because they had their eyes on somebody else. You ever see that? Yeah, that happens. Men, here's a question. Is a woman an appropriate mission target? Well, I believe she is in part. I believe God says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. So I think that's part of the target. I think that's an exciting part of the target. And men like that, and that's a good thing. I want to say these things right. You know, you can't take it back sometimes if you say it wrong. I believe wives are supposed to submit to their husband as unto the Lord, and if the husband's making her the target, that's a good thing. But we have to remember verse 25. This is a big deal here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, what did Jesus give up for the church? Everything. Everything. So that's what we're supposed to give up, guys. We kind of have to give up for our wife and then in due time our families for that very reason. So if submission is coming on board with the mission, and ladies, you're the mission, then is that a mission you can get on board with? This is yes. If he's got a mission and you're the mission, then you can come into submission to his mission because you're the mission. See, that works. And a lot of times people are trying to control people through this submission thing, but the mission, if it's done properly, is a benefit to everybody. Like, this is a good deal. This is a good deal. How many of you women think you could come under that? That'd be okay. All right, good. I hope, though, that you ladies maybe have a greater vision for the mission than just yourselves. Have you ever run into a woman like that, where she has to be the mission? And if she's not the mission, the full-time mission, and nothing but the mission, so help you God, she's going to kill you. So that's not the plan either. So now, men, do you have a clear mission for your wife, and let's extend it, and family, to come into submission to come under? You know, to get, is there an umbrella that you have that they can come under? That's the picture that I want to get. Is it worthy of her? Is it worthy of the kids? Do they see what's up? Because how do you expect them to come into submission if there's no clear mission? That's a problem, isn't it? And by the way, I'm not super good at this. I have some things that help a little bit, maybe. I've done okay, I think. She hasn't hit me too many times. Sometimes I need slapped silly. Sometimes I'm just silly anyway, so it doesn't matter. Slapping me wouldn't help. So what is the mission? That's what I want to really get to, because that's the most important part of the message. And I think we know why we're on this planet. I think we'll never forget the fact that God put us on this planet so that he could have a relationship with us. That was God's plan. He put us here, and his plan was to create this family that he could have a relationship with, these people that he could love and that could love him back. And then that relationship gets hijacked by a dirty devil. And then Jesus comes down and he restores the relationship, right? And then we're given a mission. And what's the mission? Matthew 28. We've all heard this a gazillion times, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority is given in heaven on earth, or all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this is called the Great Commission. There's that mission word again. See, we're working with him. He wanted this. This is what he wanted. In fact, if you think back to the very thing that he told Adam and Eve in the garden, it was, take this earth, subdue it, and rule over it. He always wanted us to be large and in charge and doing something in the earth. And then when it fell out, he found a way for us to get back to the original purpose that we were sent here. And that is our mission, to bring people into relationship with the living God. So, the biggest part of our submission is not the sub part. It's the mission. And sometimes when we talk about submission, people all, you know, they get that feeling, well, I'm being put under, I'm being made low. No, you're being covered. You're being protected. You're being watched over. And when you come into submission, then you come under the protection. And that's a good thing. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that they were ambassadors. Ambassadors, reconciling the world to Christ. Where do ambassadors live if they're U.S. ambassadors? Where? In the embassy. Or sometimes it's also called the mission. Did you know that? So they hang out at the mission. They live at the mission. And they're in submission. They're protected in the mission. That's a place of safety. It's a great thing. See, all of our problems with submission stem back to a lack of clear vision of the mission. All of our problems with submission stem back to a clear picture of the real mission. So, are we in submission to Jesus? Well, we're supposed to be. Yeah. Do all believers submit to Christ? Well, some have believed and not submitted, or not completely submitted. There's a little old song some people used to sing. He's still working on me. Some people are a project for God. It's going to take a while. I get it. What, do some resist submission to Christ? Sure. I've resisted submission to Christ in my life. Like, twice. No, yeah, you're all, that's nuts. Exactly. That's my point. We all know better, right? Like, it didn't take you long when I said, like, twice. Lisa's on the front row. She's looking at me like, whatever. Not that Lisa, but that Lisa. Maybe the problem when I'm not in submission is that I'm on another mission. Uh-huh. See, that's where the problem is. Maybe other people have this other agenda that they somehow got on, and maybe you've had that happen to you where you got on another agenda and you weren't on mission, so you came out of submission and you got under some other mission. And then things got out of hand. And you know, the part of the problem with this isn't, like, a lot of times it's, oh, you're going to get it now.
You're not in submission. God is going to get you.
Well, that's not really who God is. I know some people think that's the way it is. The problem with getting off a mission is we don't realize how good the mission we're on is. That's why we get on another mission. When we don't recognize how good what God has for us is, God has stuff that's so good. It's so good what God wants to give us. And when we don't realize how good what God has for us is, we get sidetracked. It, again, happened to Eve. You know, if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil, and you're going to have something better than you got. How could she get anything better than she had? I mean, they were perfect. Everything was great in the garden. Food was abundant. They were warm. They were fed. They were comfortable. They were having a good time. All right, they didn't have the greatest outfits. I mean, you know, the closet was kind of bare. Girls got to have shoes. Well, I don't know. It's, you know, but I mean, they were doing well, and it couldn't have gotten any better, but they were told it could get better, and it really wasn't any better. And they ended up on the wrong mission, and that mission messed everything up. Our mission is our destiny. And when we're on our mission, that's when we become completely and fully alive. That's when if we're finding ourselves resisting submission to God and His will, we need to realize somebody's trying to take us out of our mission and cheat us out of what brings us into the fullness of life that God had for us. And when we try to force submission on others, or when we try to push people down instead of lifting people up, and all those things, when we don't understand the way this is supposed to work, we just get confused, and it causes all sorts of problems. So the most fulfilling thing that I can do with my life is find myself on the mission that God wanted me to be on. When I recognized that Lisa was part of the mission for my life, and I headed that direction, all those other missed missions before her that wouldn't have been right for me lost all of their attraction, because I found the mission. I found this part of the mission, and I this is it. Just like that's what Adam said when Eve got made in the first place. He goes, "Wow, this is it. What I've been looking for." So everything else other than the mission that God actually has us on comes up short. It just falls short. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So that's not a big deal, except that, you know, don't stay there. Don't get stuck there in the short end of everything. Move into the mission that God has for you, and it's so much better. So that brings me to something that's kind of contemporaneous. Dangerous thing for me to get contemporaneous, you know, talking about things that are in the news right now, in a sense. But Romans chapter 13 has come up lately. I'll tell you where it came up. Some of us pastors have been continuing to meet. We are considered essential workers. We did not violate any of the protocols that were put forth by the state. We were very, very careful about what we were doing. And we've been talking weekly, sometimes by phone, and sometimes we meet together and we pray. I had a group of the pastors here a few weeks ago. And we had a circle that I was kind of like right here, and one was there, and one was there, and one was there, way over there, and it just, you know, and they were all spread out about 10 feet between us. And then we talked afterwards. And we've been talking about this a little bit, because listen to this. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. The word subject is hupotasso, the Greek word. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, there's that word again, and not only because of possible punishment, but also rather as a matter of conscience. So we were talking. Now, some of you know, I've talked about this already. The state of Ohio actually never said that we couldn't meet. Legally, one church here in town continued to meet, although they did make adjustments in their services, including not having children's church, not having kids ministry, asking their people to sit far apart. My brother-in-law, his church is coming back together for the first time today down in southern Ohio. And he literally went through his church, and it's not a very big church, kind of like us, not a huge church. And he went through and he marked the seats. There's assigned seating in his church. And he told everybody they had to wear masks. Yeah, don't submit to that. And, Yeah, I know. There are a lot of churches trying to figure out what to do and how to come back together. So, let me tell you a story. Last night, I was tired. I'd been running around chasing my grandson, who came from Indiana to visit. And he wore me out. And about 9 o'clock, I'm tired. And his mom says she had been to Panda to get orange chicken. And she got some for him and she got some for her. And she ate about 3/4 of hers. And he ate all of his, but not as fast. And she came upstairs and she had 3/4 of the orange chicken left. And she says, "Here, you want some of this?" And like an idiot, I ate it. I have this thing, if I eat just before bed, it helps keep me awake because I'll fall asleep faster, but then I wake back up because my body starts heating up to burn the food. In case you didn't know that, by the way, I talked about this, you know, on sleep when I talked about that a few months back. You know, got to be careful what you do. And so I was tired and I just eaten that chicken and I was feeling even more tired because it'll make you feel tired, but then you'll have a hard time sleeping. And then she says, "He wants more orange chicken. You want to go get him some?" And I'm like, "No." I didn't have any desire to go on a mission, cross the river, even though there is a bridge there now, to get orange chicken for my grandson. Didn't want to do it. I said, "You go get it." He goes, "Well, I don't want him to have to stay alone by himself down the basement, so will you watch him?" Go down and sit with him while he's watching TV. All right. 9 o'clock, I'm ready for bed. But all right, I'll go down there. She got back at 10. Now, it wasn't her fault. She didn't get out quite at 9 o'clock. It was a little after, and she got back a little before 10. See how I'm exaggerating it? And she got to the place, and they were like in disarray. And she actually sat waiting for them to take her order for 10 minutes, which I'd have been like, "Forget it, kid. You ain't getting no orange chicken." But she wanted to get him orange chicken. And then finally they get on, and then they put her on for another 5 minutes. And then finally somebody comes back and says, "Well, we don't have any of it." And she goes, "What? But we could make some." Duh. Yeah. So they make some orange chicken, which took extra long. You know, once they don't have it, then they can't just dip it up. So they had to go make some, and then they made her some. So she finally gets back and she's like, "Thanks for watching him." And I'm like, "Uh-huh. Whatever. I'm tired." I go upstairs and I get grumbly. I'm whining. Need a little cheese to go with my wine. You know, it just wasn't doing very good. And Lisa, who is one of the most submissive wives that you will ever meet, truly, she decided that she would set me straight and flat out told me I needed to adjust my attitude. And being a submissive man, I did. No, you know, what she pointed out to me, it was so funny because I knew what I was going to talk about today. And I laid down and I started kind of smiling to myself and laughing because she adjusted my mission. She wasn't going to submit to the stupid mission. She could have joined me.
Yeah, boy, sometimes our daughter's a big pain in the... She could have gotten all grumbly, too. But she didn't. She adjusted my mission. She adjusted my attitude. She helped me get back on mission, which should be, you know, loving my family and giving myself for them. Do you think Jesus would have driven to the north side? Probably. Man. Or maybe he'd have just, like, got in the refrigerator, pulled out a couple of pieces of chicken, spoken a couple of words. They would have gone orange. But he'd have gone and laid down. I don't know. I would rather have been able to do the latter, but I didn't do either. And my wife, my daughter ran, and she was being a good mom. Isn't that, she wanted to be a good mom. She wanted to, you know, she wanted her little boy to have what he wanted. He's not so little anymore. That's why he needed two helpings of orange chicken, because one wasn't enough. So what does that have to do with Romans 13? Glad you asked. I believe in submission to the government. I do. But even governments can occasionally get off their mission. And our government is the first government in the world to ever be of the people and by the people and for the people. So this COVID-19 thing has been kind of strange, hasn't it? I mean, it's really done a lot of unusual things, and we've been under some unusual restrictions, and some people are arguing that some of the restrictions even violate our Constitution and our civil rights and all of those things. And they've got some good arguments, by the way. And I'm sure when this is all over, that there'll be some debate that'll be maybe more constructive than some of the debate I've been hearing lately. And there may be some new laws that will be passed to set some guidelines for the future. And I kind of hope so. So I want to just say this. Submission is not silence. My wife wasn't lacking in her submission, but she wasn't silent either, and didn't allow me to get myself off a mission, because I have to be in submission to any mission that I expect her to be on board with. I believe our leaders, for the most part, there may be exceptions, and we'll figure that out, but I believe for the most part, they're trying to do their best for all of us. When I say for the most part, I mean, you know, spread them all out, because we have literally between us and the president, a lot of leaders, right? You know, there are a lot of people in that chain of command. I think more of them want to do what's right. I think some of them are confused about what's right. That's nothing new to our government, is it? We've had confused people in our government since they started the thing. So we need to make sure that we remind people what the mission is. This country was founded to give us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As I already said, it's a government by the people and for the people. It's a limited government. And sometimes people in government get mixed up on what their limits are. Here in Ohio, our governor said things one day, and the very next day he retracted what he said, changed his mind. Recognized that, wait a minute, that's not quite, you know. So this is going on, and it's going on in all the states. I want to encourage us as Christians, let's be patient. Let's recognize the umbrella that the government's trying to put over us. They are trying to protect us from things right now. Sometimes they may get a little confused on what that should look like. And even though it's not going to be perfect, we are called to do our best to arrange ourselves under it in a proper way. I heard someone say the other day, you know, if you're in the Army, you listen to your sergeant. I agree. But I also know that a good soldier knows that if his sergeant tells him to do something that's wrong, there's a line. You need to know where that is sometimes. We're doing our best. Let's have a spirit of submission, and let's do our best
to walk in ways that cause people to see our good so that our good will not be evil spoken of. This is all very tricky, isn't it? Isn't it? It's frustrating and confusing. So be patient. And let me give you one last mission motivation from the scripture. James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One version says it this way, the God's Word translation says, so place yourself under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. I believe that submission is the key to breaking the power of the enemy. When I know I'm under the mission, and I stay under the mission, and my focus is the mission, then the enemy can do a lot of goofy stuff, but I'm still on mission. I know where I'm at. I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to be up to. I know what my call is. I know how to handle the situation based on the mission that I'm in, not everything else. I believe when we bring everything in our lives on board with what God wants for us, both individually and corporately, when we bring it on board, when we get under his umbrella, that we will freak the devil out. I believe we'll absolutely freak the devil out. I believe that we can be terrorizing the ultimate terrorist. And I believe that we can torment the tormentor, and fear itself will become afraid of us.